This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, well, the first question we ask is, what is your intention coming here today? And what is your intention for attending every lesson? These are matters that we're supposed to remind ourselves from time to time. What's the intention that you come with? There are some people, intention, come to pray, listen to something and move on. What's the actual intention? When you attend a lesson, when you attend Khutbatul Jumu'ah, when you attend something that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something about your deen. For me, myself, I know when I'm here lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, preaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And for me, this is a matter of life and death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the Quran that some people from a community are supposed to go and learn. They're supposed to go and learn. Learn their deen, learn al-Islam, and learn its teachings, wal-Quran, wal-Hadith. What for? So that when they come back to their people, لِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, to warn their people if they come back to them. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ, so that the people might take a reminder and take heed and take the warning seriously and better themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayah, when He described al-da'wah, He used the word nafara. And nafara comes from nafir. When nafir huwa al-jihad fi sabilillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered al-da'wah jihad fi sabilillah. Well, jihad is a matter of life and death. Therefore, da'wah ila Allah is a matter of life and death. And so when you sit here as someone that attends regularly, listening to lessons wherever you are, whether here or somewhere else, when you attend Salat al-Jumu'ah, Khutbat al-Jumu'ah, when you listen to something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's your intention? What is the intention? The intention with each and every single one of you is supposed to be that he reforms and rectifies his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, so that Allah azza wa jal gives you the success of this lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah An-Nisa, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. When Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the husband and wife, and when there's problems between the husband and wife, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, if both sides, the husband and the wife, if they both intend reconciliation, there's problems between them, if they both intend, genuine intention from inside, that they want to work things out and they want to make things better, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, Allah Azza wa Jal would give them success. Almost all of a sudden, they will come out of their problems and they would rise over their problems. This is very important, that the intention is supposed to be there. Similarly, when someone wants إِصْلَاح مَعَ اللَّهِ, when someone wants to rectify his relationship with Allah, when someone wants to amend this relationship between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mend that broken bond, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, Allah Azza wa Jal would give him success. And to every lesson you attend, you're supposed to intend in it, أُرِيدُ إِصْلَاحًا مَعَ اللَّهِ, that you want to rectify and reform your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the intention. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the concept, the grand concept of at-tawbah ila Allah. What's at-tawbah? You understand what at-tawbah is? You sitting here today is supposed to be in the intention of at-tawbah ila Allah. Why? Because the word at-tawbah, it comes from the word taba. And taba means raja'a. At-tawbah, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means in the Arabic language, it means raja'a, to return. The idea is that a person has become so far away from Allah that he requires a tawbah to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're sitting in the lesson, learning about Allah, you go out of this lesson and you've taken some kind of knowledge that brings you closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, closer and closer to your relationship with Allah. Ethan, you're gathering here tonight, today in this morning, sitting here in this morning, should be in the intention of a tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He wants you to be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. My brothers in Islam, a lesson, يعني, inshallah ta'ala, in brief, is about a common problem that affects, I won't say the majority, probably all of us. A problem that affects all of us. And what did Islam come with to change our aspect and our attitude about this problem? What is the problem? The problem is simply, in the words of people, I want a closure to my difficulties. This is the problem. These are words that are on the tongues of the people. I want a closure to my difficulties. What do I mean by this? Each and every single one of us sitting here today has a problem in his life, has a difficulty. No matter how big it is, how small it is, it differs. The size of the problem differs from person to person. But there's an attitude in the back of the mind that you feel you're restricted from doing other things until you close this problem. And you always have, and the people always have in their minds that, well, I can't move in life. I need a closure to this problem. Someone has a sickness, I need to close this problem. And again, the life is miserable now until he finishes this problem. Someone has daughters and sons in his family, and now he is faced by a difficulty. I need them to get married so I can close this problem in my life. Someone has a divorced daughter in his house. This is a big problem. And I'm waiting for the day where I can end this problem in my life and find someone for her. Someone goes through a financial difficulty in life, and I'm waiting to resolve this problem. I want a closure to my problem. People, husband and wife, among each other in the family, give a call, Allah, nahna, we have a problem among me and wife, my wife, we have a problem. We need a closure to this problem. I want to close it off. Khalas, I want to rest and I want to find peace and satisfaction like everyone else. I want to close problems. Then you close a problem in life and another one comes up and then you want closure to it and so on. Life is like this. You realize this. And the people, yani, if you're not able to have the right mentality and the mindset, if you're not able to have the right attitude towards these difficulties and obstacles in life, what happens? Look what people do. Look what people do to themselves. They resort to taking pills to kill themselves, resort to suicide. Then to them, nothing is going to end their problems other than death. It's just me dying would finish my problems, would finish my difficulties, my pains. Lakin, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He sent down a Qur'an to us. And He sent us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day the Qur'an came down was the day Allah's mercy came down. This is how it's supposed to be viewed. The day the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to mankind, it was the day Allah's mercy was sent to mankind. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of the Qur'an teach us exactly well how to deal with these matters. Number one, the first way in how to deal with difficulties and pains and tribulations and trials and worries and sadnesses and the depressions and the stress and the misery of life, how you deal with these matters is, number one, understand that this is how Allah created mankind. And this is how Allah created the worldly life. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the human being in difficulty. Either life from day one until you die is all difficulty. There's no such thing as I want a closure to my difficulties. There's no such thing. The day you came out from your mother was a difficult day. You can't remember the pain of that day. But ask your mother, she'll tell you you are crying. A shaitan came and slapped each and every single one of us. That's the beginning of life. What are you going to say? No, why? I just came out. Why have I been slapped by a shaitan? Why? This is life. This is how it's going to be. That's the pains of it. You're crying from the very beginning. For what reason? You've got to get used to it from the very beginning. Then you begin to suckle and you find difficulty in that. And then you begin to walk and you find difficulty in that. You trip over, you fall, you stand back up. Then you start eating and you have difficulty in that. It's the first time you start eating. Then you start conversing with others and you find difficulty when you start learning A, B, C, Alif, Ba, Da, put words together, put sentences together, put paragraphs together. learning, the learning experience becomes a difficult experience. Then you have all of school to finish. Then you think, my difficulties are going to finish by the end of year 12. Halas, I'm done after the HSE. Then you begin with another difficulty in life. You got university. Then you finish that and you take a degree and you begin your studies and you begin some kind of work. Then you want to get married. You think that's it. Khalas, that'll finish your difficulties in life. Brother, wallah, al-fitan are a lot outside. Well, people, is zina, well, Allahu Akbar, I need to get married and inshallah, it's going to solve all my problems. Then you get married. And sure, the divorce rate is higher than the marriage rate. Then you find all of a sudden that there's an issue. I need a stop to this. Khalas, I can't. I've married once. I divorced twice. I divorced the third time. Oh no, I just want to get married and settle and relax and children and just see myself in this, like these advertisements they make in where a wife and a husband sitting together with two children and a barbecue scene and outside outdoor scene. That's it. This is the dream. This is the happy life. And this image has been sold to us and you're just running after it and you never see it in your life. You begin your aspirations are what mankind have made of a standard of aspiration. If then you begin to fail in life, what's the problem? This is the issue. And then your children, and then once I marry off my children, I'll rest. And then the day you die is a difficult day. Don't you think the day that a ruh comes out, it's going to be easy? It's a difficult day. The way the soul comes out is over four stages. It's first gathered in the body. Then it's gathered from the hand, from the feet, from the legs. It's gathered in one place. Then it begins to push. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, "Hatta idha balagat al-taraqi," it reaches al-taraqi, which is here, turquwa, right here, the collarbone, right here. This is here. When it reaches here, this is where the pain is. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He says, the soul it begins, it reaches here. Wa balagat al-qulub al-hanajir, when it comes out as it rises. Up here in this moment is where the painful part is. And then when it comes out, either وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ or وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَ, either it's ripped out or either it comes out effortlessly, smoothly. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believer. And then after that, people think that suicide, death, I will die, and خلاص, it'll end by miseries and worries. سَعَمْدَكَ الْقَبَرِ. And what happens in the grave? Now, the serious difficulties begin now. وَضَمَّةُ الْقَبَرِ. The grave, in where it restricts and it squeezes itself on the person that's inside, whether a believer or an unbeliever, everyone will experience it, to learn that there are difficulties in the grave as well. وَعَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ. And then after this, وَالْمَلَكَانِ, the two questioning of the angels that come and question you, مَنْ رَبُّكُ مَا دِينُكُ مَنْ نَبِيُّكُ, the questions, it's not going to be easy. يعني the angels that come, then they're not wearing a hat and a abaya and coming into you, assalamu alaykum, and ma rabbuk, Allahu alam, how they look like. Allahu alam. Allahu alam, how they look like. They come and they ask questions and they move on. And then after this coming up from the grave, man, difficulty. People are drowning in the sweat of their sins. And then al-mizan, wal-hisab, wal-ardu ala Allah, wal-sirat, until you enter the paradise. All of this is going to be difficult in this life, in the grave, on the hereafter, on the plains. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Even the first point is to realize and recognize, tests are coming. Difficulties are always going to be there. There is no such thing as a closure to difficulties in life. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَنَبْلُوكُمْ, we will test you. Well, ibtila, this nablukum, it comes in the present tense. Well, the present tense in Arabic implies something that repeats itself. It's continuous. Meaning, al-ibtila bi-sharri wal-khayr is going to be continuous. Wa nablukum bi-sharri wal-khayri fitna wa ilayna turja'oon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, wa lanabluwannakum bi-shay'in min al-khawf. Al-khawf, people are in fear. People are fear. And Allah Azza wa Jal began with that. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Because for most people, that's their state right now. They fear. What is going to happen in the future? What's going to happen to myself? What's going to happen to my children? Am I going to live until I see my children grow or not? What's going to happen to my business in the future? What's going to happen in the economy, with the economy in the future? People, this is all their worries. And to flick through 15 or 10 minutes of news on some open up a news page, flick through it, watch the people that watch the news, read the news. What happens? In 5 minutes, you become depressed. In 5 minutes, there's fear instilled inside of you. What's the news all about? It's all bad news. Who got murdered? Who got killed? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Who got stabbed? Someone died in Canada. They bring you the news, update you. This is all fear. This is all fear. You read something, someone died. How many people died from the flu? The number is rising. Watch out. Prices of the house is dropping. This is for other people in that kind of industry. There's a worry now, right? And so on. The fees just keeps on going. Hatta even the news reporter himself at the end, last 2-3 minutes, they will say, and to some good news now, Allah give you some good news in 1-2 minutes. And then come back tomorrow to يعني, have another depressed life, a life of worries and fees and so on. Hatta, يعني, it was never like this in the past. People didn't know the news in the past. Wherever you lived, that was your news. That's it. No one would give you news from there and from this country and from that country and all of this. It instills worry and fear in the people. People change their entire lifestyle when they hear about something like this. People want to move away from one area to another when they hear about things like this, thinking that peace and tranquility and the life is going to be wherever. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you are, death will come to you. It'll come to you wherever you are. The difficulties are going to come, no matter where you are. فَإِذَا we need to understand from the very beginning, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Allah is going to test us with some kind of fear. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. وَالْجُوعِ. Al-jū' is another difficulty. Al-jū' al-jū' and you don't find anything to eat. When living and lifestyle becomes expensive, and you begin to deprive yourself from certain matters because it's going to cost you so much, and you might not live. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Financial loss. Financially, there will be difficulty. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ. وَالْأَنفُسِ, death will happen within the family. Someone will die, someone close to you will die. A father will die, a mother will die, a son will die, a brother, a sister, someone that's close. All of these are the difficulties of life that Allah Azza wa Jalla tests a person with. For this is the idea, you need to understand that these are matters that are going to continuously happen. When Allah Azza wa Jalla described Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Ibrahim, even Ibrahim alayhi salam went through the test. For the idea is, we start with good news. There is good news. And I'm very optimistic and hopeful that the one who is going through tests and pains and difficulties and is able to acknowledge them and accept them in his life, there's good news. That Allah loves such a people and loves people like this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah Azza wa Jal was to love people, He tests them. فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى. Whoever's pleased with Allah's test, Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with him. وَمَنْ سَخَطَ فَعَلَيْهِ السُّخْطِ. And anyone who is displeased, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with him. لأن هداية didn't understand the meaning of life. Life was supposed to be difficult. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He described the paradise, He said, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. One of the names of the paradise is Dar As-Salam. As-Salam, what does As-Salam mean? After Salat, you say, Allahumma anta As-Salam, wa minka As-Salam. As-Salam means the peaceful, the peaceful. When peace means when you're free from pains and worries, that's what peace is. Allah called the paradise Dar As-Salam because in there is Salam. Until you get there is no Salam. Before all of this, Salam would be mixed with the difficulty, but entirely 100% closure and problems and finally salam and tranquility, there is no such thing. Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam. Lahum daru salam inda rabbihim. Salam in the paradise. People are free from worries. People are free from pain. People are free from sickness. People are free from death. There is no death. There is no old age. There is no financial difficulty. There is no eating out of hunger. The people of the paradise eat purely from enjoyment. Otherwise, no one gets hungry in the paradise. There is no need to sleep. There is no need for anything. No need for worry. No need for anything. هذا دار السلام. Over there, it's a different life. إنما until you reach there, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't promise any salam in this life. There's no salam. No salam at all. The only salam you'll find is in dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala and moments. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned this as a reality in the Quran. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And we said that Allah subhanahu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. So that's the first thing, how to deal with this issue. That you accept it, change your mindset and your attitude, understand that this is life, this is what life is all about. These tests, they could be for short periods, they could be for longer periods, they could be small, not a big issue in life, they could be massive and huge in life, they could come later, they could come now, Allahu A'lam. One is resolved, another opens, another can open as the first one hasn't been resolved. This is how it's going to happen. And this is a sign of Allah Azza wa Jalla's love on a person, so long as he radi, so long as he's pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jalla had given him. Now, once a person is pleased and accepts these difficulties and trials and tribulations in life, one of the gifts that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows upon such people is that He allows them to deal with these problems in a professional manner. You're able to deal with this problem in a professional manner. Al-Islam teaches us, how do you take a difficulty which is perceived as something negative and turn it into something positive? How do you do that? Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, Inna ma'al usri yusra. شوف, Inna ma'al usri yusra. With al-usr, which is difficulty, there's going to be yusr, which is ease. Not ease after the difficulty. With the difficulty, there'll be ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. And then it was repeated again. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Why was the ayah repeated? You know, when you have love for someone, and you repeat yourself so that you calm them down. Yani, for example, if someone is worried and you come and you pat his shoulder and you say to him, brother, don't worry, it's going to be fine. You repeat yourself. This repetition, when you repeat yourself, it's an implication of your love and compassion and gentleness to him. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa lillahi al-mathalu al-a'la. Allah Azza wa Jal is al-latif, wal-rahman, wal-rahim. He's the most gentle and the most compassionate. For when he wants to calm down the servant, this ayah was repeated. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla is repeating it. And you're supposed to understand from this that it's calming the believer down. That it's all right. With the difficulty, Allah will inject it with a lot of ease. And He's going to inject it with a lot of ease. And He repeated this twice. Now, if you flick through the Quran from the beginning to the end, you look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find that exactly was the case. But you know, wait for the difficulty to arrive, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ease would be with you. Inna having the fear of the difficulties to come in life, this is by yourself. You know, there are people that fee the concept of fee. Yani, there's no problem in his life, but he just sits down and he's fearing. He's worried. What's going to happen? And this such a person lives in misery. Then the difficulty hasn't happened yet. Wait, when it happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tranquility upon you would descend. You'd learn how, you'd be able to deal with your problem. Now, why would you fear something that still hasn't happened yet? For you need to understand that you're living for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You live in the manner Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to be with. And you engage yourself and you busy yourself with dhikrillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that the one who doesn't busy himself with dhikrillah and he just keeps to himself and he has moments in life where he's just silent, doesn't do anything, you know what this does? It brings waswasa to shaytan about. It brings waswasa to shaytan. Shaytan begins to give you waswas. What's going to happen later on? What will happen tomorrow? But when you keep your mind and your tongue occupied bi dhikrillah, there's actually no room in your mind to think of anything else. فوسوسة الشيطان goes away. That's very true. It's very true. Sit to yourself and don't do anything. Watch where your mind goes. Watch where your mind is going to take you. To the most horrible of things. The only way you're going to protect your mind from these negativities is to keep it busy. And the best thing to keep it busy with is Billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the Quran. You find the case, for example, in the ayah we read, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. The end of the ayat, the next ayat that come after it, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. The very famous ayah of وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. You all know this ayah. But then, one, two ayat after it, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. What's a الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ, which is seen in Al-Hajj, what's that have to do with وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ? Why is it right after it? Because the story of As-Safa wal-Marwa is a story of a woman that went through difficulty in life. Is a story of a woman that Allah Azza wa Jal tested. The ayah just before said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal is going to give us an example of an ibtila that happened to one of Allah's creation. Hajar, radiallahu anha. Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves his family, his wife, and his newborn Ismail alayhi salam in the desert, in the dead, barren desert. No water, no food, no people, nothing. He left them for Allah and he left. And he said to her, this is Allah's command to me. And she said, إِذَا لَيُّ ضَيَّعَنَ اللَّهِ. If that's what Allah commanded you to leave us here in certain death, this is certain, but being left in desert is certain death. The only thing you're waiting for is how are you going to die? By hunger or dehydration or something else, or a wild beast is going to come and eat you. You're just looking which way are you going to die. Innama, death is certain. In a place like this, death is certain. For she said, so long as Allah has commanded you to go and leave us here, لَن يُضَيَّعَنَ اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal would preserve us, would protect us. And then she went up to us, and when her baby was crying, needs to eat, needs to drink, she went up to As-Safa. And then from As-Safa to Al-Marwa, As-Safa, Al-Marwa, seven times. As-Safa wal-Marwa is a place where Allah Azza wa Jal answers the call of the distressed. She looked to her side, Zamzam had come out. Allah gave her Zamzam. You see, in the difficulty, inna ma'al usri yusran. You see, when the ibtila happened, Allah Azza wa Jal's yusr was there. Zamzam came out. She began to drink. Well, Zamzam is what? Is a unique special water. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, طَعَامُ طُعْمُ وَشِفَاءٌ مِّن كُلِّ سُقْمُ. طَعَامُ طُعْمُ, يعني it's food. Zamzam is food. You can live on Zamzam. It has nutrients in it that would satisfy a person just like food would do. This is what Zamzam is. For Zamzam was their food and their drink. شوف لطف الله سبحانه وتعالى. When Allah Azza wa Jal decrees upon you a difficulty and a hardship and a tribulation, we said He injects it with yusr. Inna Rabbi Latif lima yasha. Allah Azza wa Jal's qadr is never separated from His gentleness. Allah's qadr is always, always, always joined and combined with His gentleness. Look at the example of Hajar radiallahu anha. Uma'u Zamzam coming out from nowhere, from unexpected. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. You know the ayah? When Allah Azza wa Jal says, anyone who fears Allah has belief in Allah, what does Allah Azza wa Jal do to him? يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. He will make an exit, a way out for him. And He will provide for him from a way he did never, ever, ever assume. Did Hajar ever assume this? Who would have assumed Zamzam would be the solution? And Zamzam is still there today. So that when you and I pass by it, we remember that Allah Azza wa Jal's ease is always with us in times of difficulty. That's why Zamzam is there. That's why As-Safa wal-Marwa is there. That's why we have been commanded that we do tawaf between As-Safa wal-Marwa. So that the first thing you remember is this, that inna ma'al usri yusran. That's what we're supposed to remember. Well, Hajj is once a lifetime upon everyone. So that when you go there, you recognize and you take this lesson, and it's supposed to live with you forever. It's supposed to live with you forever. That's the case of Hajar. You find the case of Yunus alayhi salam in the Quran. Yunus alayhi salam, He's in this ship. It ends up in the middle of the ocean. The ship becomes really heavy. The people on the ship realize that they're supposed to unload things from the ship if they're going to live and survive. So they throw all their belongings off the ship. Then they realize that some human beings have to come off as well. Otherwise it's about to sink. So Yunus alayhi salam volunteers to throw himself off because he came late, he came last on the ship. So they said, "No, no, no, anta nabiyullah, you're the prophet and messenger of Allah. Stay here, we'll do a qura, a raffle." So they put names on a paper, into a cup or whatever it is, a raffle. And they take out first name, Yunus alayhi salam. "Yeah, we can't do it, let's try it again." Once again, Yunus alayhi salam. A third time, Yunus alayhi salam. Eventually Yunus alayhi salam is ready to go. He jumps off the boat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a whale. Biqadarillah. Not a coincidence, it got there. This is Allah's gentleness. Biqadarillah, a whale came, it opened its mouth. Allahu Akbar, the biggest creature on earth. It opened its mouth and it swallowed him. And it went down into the depth of the ocean. He's living the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the belly of the whale. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jal called it ظُلُمَات. Now this, you can say that Yunus alayhi salam has reached rock bottom in his life. Literally, he's going all the way down now. This is a difficult experience. No one on earth was going through a difficulty like Yunus alayhi salam's difficulty. When he was in the belly of the whale as it's going down, the first thing on his mind was, "La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin." This was the first words on his mouth. All of a sudden, getting in the biggest problem in his life, he doesn't have the means to rescue himself. No one has the means to rescue him. Like, even technology until today, if a whale swallowed you today, technology today won't even be able to locate where you are. Khalas, you're gone, finished. Like, and he resorted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal saved him. You know, he didn't resort to worldly means. You see, imagine you're in the whale. Imagine you are in the whale. The people today, what's the first thing they resort to? To a worldly means, to a worldly solution. Call someone in your difficulty. Go to someone. Innama Yunus alayhi salam went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first with the dhikr of his. La ilaha illa ant. Yani, as though Yunus alayhi salam is saying, "I will not forget you in times of difficulty." This is what La ilaha illa ant means. When he says it, how does he say it? He says it with the intention of La ilaha illa ant, meaning in the most difficult time, I will not forget your dhikr. And that's the first thing on his tongue, La ilaha illa ant. And then he goes on to say, Subhanak. Perfection belongs to you. That's what Subhanak means. Perfection belongs to you. Yanita, can you say that? In the most difficult time in life, to say Allah is perfect. Allah is not the reason for why I have fallen into the problem I'm falling in. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Yunus alayhi salam ends his statement by saying, "Inni kuntu min al-zalimin." I am the one that wronged myself. I am the wrongdoer. I am the sinner. I am the one that's imperfect. I am the one that deserves to be where I am in this difficulty and trial. Can you say that? Can you face your difficulties with this dhikr? La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This is what saved him. Fastajabna lah. We answered his call. Fastajabna lahu wa najjaynahu min al-gham. And we saved him from his difficulty and from his calamity. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this is how we're going to rescue the believers. Even this dhikr is not special for him in the time of difficulty. Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ. And in the same manner we saved him, with this dhikr, with this attitude of his, in the same manner, نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We saved the believers as well. Look what he said, لا إله إلا أنت. He didn't even say, لا إله إلا الله. He said, La ilaha illa ant. Why? See, there's a difference. When you say, La ilaha illa Allah, the name Allah is the proper name of the one who we worship. That's the noun. But when you say ant, it's the pronoun. And when you say the word anta, you're referring to someone that's close to you. Like, for example, if you want to call this brother, We say anta. If I'm going to speak to someone that's far away, anta, you, doesn't work. You'd have to mention him by name. Ya Ibrahim, come, for example. You'd do that. Nama, if someone is close, you say ant. Yunus alayhi salam is saying la ilaha illa ant. He feels the closeness of Allah. لأنه from the names of Allah is Al-Qarib. Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Qarib فإني قريب. He feels the closeness of Allah even in the most difficult of times. That today people, what do they think in the most difficult of times? They feel that Allah has let them go. Allah Azza wa Jalla is very, very far away from them. Allah Azza wa Jalla must be angry with me, must be upset. This is why I'm in the trouble I'm in. He begins to blame Allah Azza wa Jalla. Where Yunus alayhi salam teaches us that in the midst of difficulty, he still realizes Allah's closeness and he acknowledges it. In his words, La ilaha illa ant. It's as though he's saying, oh Allah, the difficulty I'm in is not going to make me more concerned than your dhikr. When he says, La ilaha illallah, Yunus alayhi salam is saying that my concern with Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than my concern of the whale. Yani he's not worried about the difficulty. He's not concerned about the difficulty. He's concerned about dhikrillah and the relationship he has with Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in Surah As-Saffat, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had Yunus alayhi salam not fought like this, had Yunus alayhi salam not been from among al-musabbihin, al-musabbihin, from those that are close to Allah Azza wa Jal, from those that worship Allah, from those that are where Allah wants them to be, from those that do not obey Allah, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He would have remained in the belly of that whale until the day of judgment. يعني he would have remained in his difficulty until the last day. Nothing would have solved it. Nothing would have put a closure to his difficulty. His difficulty would have remained with him. Indama, when your heart is busy, bidhikrillah, even in the most difficult of times, Allah Azza wa Jal would find a way out for you. In times of difficulty, this is where your concern bidhikrillah is supposed to be extraordinary. More than other times. Not an entire 180 degrees turned back and ka'annu a person doesn't know who Allah is. We learn this from the cases of the prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam is thrown in a fire. Fire is supposed to burn. That's a difficulty. لكن إن مع العسر يسرا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم. Oh fire, be peaceful and cool on Ibrahim. Two things, بردا وسلاما. If it was بردا only cool, he would have froze to death. If it was سلاما peaceful without being cool, he would have burnt. But he would have felt the pain of being burned. He would have just burned. Lakin two together, kuni bardan wa salaman, saved him. By bi'ithnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't forget, as he was thrown in the fire, the first word he said was what? Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Ya'ni kafin Allah. Ya'ni Allah is enough for me. Wa ni'mal wakil. This is how he faced his difficulty. My brothers in Islam, you're supposed to face your difficulties bidhikrillah, with the concern of Allah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he was on the battlefield on the day of Uhud. Watch this. On the day of Uhud, on the battlefield. And there were companions that were protecting the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was about 12 of them. This is in the battle of Uhud, when the believers began to lose. We don't call it a loss, but this is how it's been described in the books of Sirah. But it was kind of the believers now weren't having the upper hand. They did not have the upper hand. The disbelievers had turned from around. Khalid bin al-Walid, you know the story. He killed those, the archers, they came down. And the believers started to run away. Uthman radiallahu anhu was from among them and other sahaba that ran. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the back, and 11 companions now are protecting him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, who would defend me? One of them said me. He went to the front. He fought until he got killed. The other one came, he fought until he got killed. Fought until 11 of them went forward and they all got killed. Who remains? An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Fatalha radiallahu anhu, now he's going to take the honor of defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he stepped forth and he began, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that he fought the fighting of 11 men. That's the strength of Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu. Until he fought, then his finger got cut off. As he is fighting, his finger cut off. Fal hadith said, فَقَالَ حِسْ. حِسْ, what does حِسْ mean? It means, يعني, he said, like this. The basic normal reaction would come out when your finger's cut off. If you're pricked by a thorn, that's what you say. Imagine a finger coming off. So he said what everyone would say, like that, حِسْ. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, أما إنك لو قلت بسم الله لرفعتك الملائكة. Had you said بسم الله, the angels would have raised you. Give the angels. يعني, this is Uhud. Maybe if this scene was in Badr, you'd expect, because angels were in Badr. They came down and fought alongside the believers. They were angels. Maybe you can understand in that context that al-malaika would have raised him. Indama here in Uhud, where now just 11 have died, the only protector for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يعني on earth, on the ground, was Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And the disbelievers have gathered, and the believers, half of them have ran away back to Al-Madinah. And the believers don't look in good shape. 70 have died. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tooth is broken, blood coming out of his face. In this midst of extreme difficulty, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still has the power to remind others of Allah and say to him, if you just said Bismillah, la rafa'atka al-malaika. يعني شوف, in times of difficulty, where your mind is supposed to be, where your attitude, your focus is supposed to be, it's supposed to be billah, bismillah, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen, like Yunus alayhi salam. This is where your mind is supposed to be. Busied and occupied with dhikrillah. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who has the solution to every problem. To every problem. How many sicknesses today, doctors haven't found a cure for them? You see how much you require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see how much you're in need of Ismullah al-Shafi. Al-Shafi in your life. Subhanallah. Every name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you and I can't live without. Wallahi, there are names of Allah that without them we would die. There are names of Allah we cannot live without. These are from the names of Allah, Al-Qarib, Al-Shafi, Al-Mujib, Al-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor. These are names of Allah we can't live without. Have you taken advantage of these names of Allah Azza wa Jal? Have we taken advantage of them? We're supposed to take advantage of them in the most difficult of times. Not have a negative attitude towards difficulties in life. Positive attitude. Ashab al-Kahf, if you look into the story of Ashab al-Kahf, you know, they were wanted because they did not worship the idols during the time of celebration of worshipping the idols. They ran away with their deen. They ran away. And as they ran away, you know their story, they were imprisoned and they ran out of prison and they ended up where? At a cave. Like, imagine this. Imagine you're entering a cave. You don't know when's the next time you're going to eat. How long are you going to be in the cave? The entire community is looking for you. And if they grab these people of the cave, who are ordinary people just like you and I, except that their story was special because what I'm about to share with you. If they were grabbed, the next thing that was going to happen, يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, they were going to be stoned to death. That's it. That was the capital punishment of the time. So what happens? They get to the cave. What's the cave? Allahu A'lam, what's inside? What snakes live inside? What spiders live inside? What beast lives inside? There's no source of light. When the sun sets, what's going to happen? How long are we going to be in there for? When are we going to come out? Is the army going to get us or not? So many negative things can happen. But have all these things happened yet? No. So they did not think about it. They did not sit among each other and discuss, what are you going to eat next? Yeah, I mean, why is this a problem? You're not hungry now. Why are you thinking about it? They did not sit down and discuss. What about if we get caught? What's going to happen? They didn't discuss it. It hasn't happened yet. So you know what they did? As soon as they entered the cave, wallahi, be honest to yourself. Would you even imagine yourself doing this? They entered, Allahu A'lam, what future they're facing. They got into this cave. And they said, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله, they told each other فأووا إلى الكهف. Let's go resort to the cave. The first thing they said to each other, ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا. And they said it in a way where it's definite. ينشر, هذا الجزم, they call it الجزم. يعني الجزم, it's like you're saying a guaranteed confirmed piece of information. ينشر, Allah is going to spread His mercy upon us. How? I don't know. ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته. And they said, وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. يُهَيِّئْ means to mold something. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is going to take this difficult, nasty situation of ours and mold from it. مِرْفَقًا. مِرْفَقًا is a pillow. A pillow implies comfort, peace and satisfaction. Allah is going to take this difficulty of ours and turn it into a source of tranquility and peace for us. That's it. That's the last words they said, and they slept upon these words. What happened? For the next 300 and plus years, Allah is with them. Put them to sleep. Allah would turn them left and right so that they didn't develop bed sores. Right? Allah looked after them. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ, the sun would come out. The rays of the sun would hit the mouth of the cave, and then they would twist so that they don't burn. Ibn Abbas said if the sun was to shine upon them for 300 years, they would have burned. And then when it goes from the other side, وَإِذَا غَرَوَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ, القرض, it loans them, it gives them some sunlight. Because the body needs sunlight. And the smooth, harmless rays of the sun is when the sun is setting. Allah would give them some of that. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, Allah is the one who turns them. You know someone that's bedridden, in a coma, in the hospital, they turn him left and right so that they don't develop bed sores. The nurse comes and turns a person. إِنَّمَا هِيَا, Allah would turn them left and right. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, an extra security provided for them on the mouth of the cave. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ, even the dog was a security for them. Allah Azza wa Jal even included the dog in His mercy as well. He earned the same thing Ashab al-Kahf earned for 300 plus years. Why? Because they were able to have good thought in Allah during times of difficulty. What they did is called Husnul Dhanni Billah. What Yunus alayhi salam did in the belly of the whale is called Husnul Dhanni Billah, thinking good of Allah Azza wa Jal. فإذن, we understand, يعني, in brief, that difficulties are a part of life. Don't ever have this kind of assumption and idea that one day everything is going to close up. Oh, alhamdulillah, we're going to live that final satisfaction and tranquility and that's it. No, the time of death is going to remind you once again of the difficulty. And the attitude is supposed to change. Be with Allah Azza wa Jal during these times. The greatest concern and focus during times of difficulty is supposed to be Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the promise of Allah, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, you'll see it in your life. You'll see it. يعني هو dealing with the problem, and we conclude with this, dealing with the issues, العلماء رحمهم الله, they say people are four types, concluding with this piece of information. They said, number one, there is a person that is displeased with the difficulties in life. Such a person, Allah is displeased with him. Number two, and being displeased is haram. Number two, الصبر على الأذى في سبيل الله. And that's wajib. That any difficulty you face in life, you have to be patient. That is bottom. This is bottom line for a believer. That is wajib. What does sabr mean? Sabr means that you say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That's the bare minimum, sabr. And sabr means that you do not react in a way displeasing to Allah. So if someone was to die in the family, for example, and not having sabr is to begin to question why him, and to cry and to wail and to scream and to rip the hair out and so on. That would be no sabr, right? Someone went through a difficulty, a financial difficulty, loses the plot on people, blames this person, swears here, there is no sabr, right? فَإِذَا صَبْر means that you do not react in a way that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Sabr, just hold yourself back and acknowledge this is from Allah. وَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and that's it. طيب, there's a level higher than this, which is الرِّضَى, being pleased with the difficulty. والرضا is not واجب. الرضا مستحب. As the ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, الصبر واجب. إنما الرضا being pleased, that's a difficulty. Not everyone can get there. That's a difficult level. Not everyone can get there. What does it mean to be pleased? يعني you might say, يعني how am I going to be pleased with a difficulty in life? Let's say it was a sickness Allah gave you. How am I going to be pleased with that? Yeah, you know, for example, when someone is in pain, yeah, and takes medicine, isn't he pleased with the medicine he takes? So there is this kind of idea in where you're able to be pleased with pain and difficulty. Being pleased, riba, would mean that whether the difficulty happened or not, it's the same to you. That's being pleased. You see that? Yeah, for example, give an example. يعني لا سمح الله may Allah عز وجل protect our children all. But if a child was to die, رضا would mean that whether he's still alive or dead, it's the same to me. هذا الرضا, being pleased. Because the bottom line, you know, he was from Allah to begin with. Allah عز وجل took him, right? هذا الرضا. That you see the problems in life, them happening in your life and not happening is both the same to you. شوف الرضا, there's a high level, not everyone can get there. Now there's higher than this. You know there's higher than this? There's one more step above all of this. And this only ibadullah as-salihin can get there. This is how Yunus alayhi salam got there. Or Ibrahim alayhi salam. Or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions and everyone, you know, this is how they got there. And that level above is hamdullahi wa shukruhu ala al-bala. To thank Allah for al-bala. To be grateful to Allah for the difficulty. يعني as though أنت you're saying when the difficulty came, that you say Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me this test. What kind of level is this? This is very, this is high level stuff. Not everyone can get there. High level. This is why the first ayah we read in the Quran, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. To get to the proper hamd of Allah is that when Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a calamity and a difficulty in life, that not only you're patient with it, يعني ما أنا صبر, what am I going to do? Not only that. And then not only you're pleased, whether it happened, it didn't happen, it's both the same, that kind of attitude, which is high. No, إنما to say like, Alhamdulillah for this difficulty. يعني عندك one of the companions, one of the salaf, rahimahumullah, once, he had an injury in his finger. يعني a friend of his saw him. He said to him, Muhammad, there's an injury in your finger. Why haven't you reacted to it yet? For he said to him, Naam, there is an injury in my finger. So he said to him, but imagine it was in my face. Imagine it was in my nose. Imagine it was in my eye. Imagine it was in my ear. Imagine it was inside of me. For that friend of his, he said, for this person, kept on telling me, imagine it was he, imagine, until I thought that the most beautiful thing that has happened to this person was an injury in his finger. Yani, the idea of the person saying that, يعني Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, look where I got it, a gift from Allah. Can you do that with difficulties in life? To look at your difficulty and to say Alhamdulillah, it wasn't in this. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't in my deen. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't in the fact that I stopped my salat altogether. It's a big bala. Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was out in a travel and he had contracted a virus in his leg, and the disease was beginning to form, and the only solution back in the time was to amputate the leg. So they had to amputate it. Khalas, there was no question in that. So they said to him, we need to amputate it, drink some alcohol so that you're intoxicated, because this is how they used to, what's it called, the anesthetic back in the time was alcohol. You drink until you're drunk down, and then they perform whatever surgery they can perform at the time. For he refused, I'm not going to drink it. He said, rather, I'm going to pray. When I get into sujood, then amputate my leg. For he began to pray. He got into sujood and they amputated his leg. Of course, with the difficulty, he fell unconscious. For they are beginning to heal the wound for him and he's still unconscious. As he's unconscious, he has two sons. Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is a companion. This is after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two of his sons, they were on their way to him. And as they're coming on their way on a horse, one of his sons was killed by the horse. He fell off, the horse kicked him, it resulted in injuries, his son died. Allahu Akbar, شوف المصيبة. It from nowhere, two of the most difficult things in life had happened to him in one time. So the people that were coming with that kind of, يعني, with that kind of group, they arrived to where Urwa ibn Mas'ud is. When they arrived, some of them said, should we inform him or not that his son died? But he just lost his leg. What are we going to inform? Some said, don't inform him of anything. He's in a difficulty now. We'll wait for a few days, then we'll inform him. And some said, la, but he has to pray on his son and he has to bury him. That's his son. We have to inform him. Khalas, they agreed to inform him. So when he regained consciousness, he saw his leg, he's missing a leg. And he's got one leg. They came and they informed him. And no, your son had died on his way here. A horse kicked him and he died. He said, shuf, subhanAllah, to teach you the four types, where he was. The first thing he said, Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, you gave me 2 feet, 2 legs, you took one and you left one. And you gave me 2 sons, you took one and you left one. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَى مَا أَخَذْتَ وَمَا أَعْطَيْتَ. To you belongs alhamd for whatever you gave and for whatever you took. And that's how he dealt with his problem. Finished. الحمد لله سبحانه وتعالى على البلاء. Then look where we began. We began with the lesson of people not being able to deal with their problems, want a closure to their problems. And look where we ended. We ended in the highest level a person can have, and that is to observe the difficulties as a ni'mah min Allah worth to be thanked. To the point where you say Alhamdulillah for it. Next time you read Surah Al-Fatiha in your salat and you read Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. يعني, don't just thank Allah in good times. Even that's a good blessing. But the challenge for you and I is to thank Allah in the most difficult of times. Now that is an achievement. Now you've reached something. Now you've got to something. Now you'll feel the sweetness of Alhamdulillah. You'll feel it in those moments. Wallahu a'lam, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us patience, to give us al-rida, to give us the ability to thank Him during times of difficulties and hardships. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us people of the Quran, people of Sunnah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika al-qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.